Welcome to Off the Cuff. My name is Dean Vitale. I'm being joined by our host and lifetime pastor, John Bell. Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing really well.
Good. So, John, you know, I always like to start a little warm chatter between me and you and the listeners. And I know that you and Linda just celebrated your 50th wedding anniversary. So, you know, that's really a milestone, and it's a milestone even more in this day and age. So I'm going to ask you, what is the secret to being married 50 years?
Okay, for me, what I think is you have to marry somebody that you love more than you love yourself. I think there's a lot of selfishness takes place in marriage. And the thing that gets me away from my selfishness, because we all have it. I mean, we're all very much interested in our needs, our wants, our wishes. But I love Linda more than I love myself. And she's the same way. And we're always trying to do things for each other. Years ago, she would say things to me like, would you do a favor for me? And I was thinking it over one day, and I said, I'm going to make up my mind today that if she says, would you do a favor for me? I'm going to, if possible, I'm going to drop whatever I'm doing and say, absolutely. So I just think, you know, building the other person up, being kind, forgiveness is a big part of it, always being willing to forgive. Linda and I have never had marriage counseling because we can usually talk it out ourselves and we try to see the other person's perspective.
Well, it kind of helps when you're married to the marriage guy that does marriage counseling.
I guess. Yeah, but I, you know, yeah, like, my fallenness shows up in marriage for sure. I think, you know, and also in parenting. I just think that the people closest to you are the people you can hurt the most. So you got to be really, really careful with that. Plus, you know, yeah. I'm blessed, just like you. I married just a really kind person. You know, I knew her mom. Her mom was one of my junior high leaders. So I knew her mom before I knew her. And her mom was incredibly kind. So I remember thinking, I need to introduce this kindness into the Bell bloodstream.
Yeah, that's precious. That's really nice. And you're right. My wife, Kathy, is just, like I say all the time, I know God made her for me because she's the only woman that can be married to me and live with me.
Yeah. That's what my sisters say to her. They say, you know, you're the only one that can be married to him.
Right? Yeah. All right, so let's start this question and this episode of Off the Cuff. And This is going to be a hard one for some people. So here's the question, John. Do we all pray to the same God?
Well, we always have to identify the God that we're praying to. It's not just saying a prayer. It's not the prayer that matters. It's the object of the prayer. And if you examine the so-called gods that are prayed to, you'll get a different description most of the time. If you ask a Muslim, so what is Allah like? You know, because Allah is Arabic for God. So you say, what is Allah like? And then you listen to that description of Allah. If you ask Hindu, what about your gods? And there are supposedly like over 330,000 Hindu gods, and they all are different, and they will tell you the differences. They have a god of war, they have a god of peace, they have a god of provision. I've talked to some Hindus. They say there actually are 33 actual different gods in the Hindu religion, but they're all different. They recognize, a Hindu realizes that if he's praying to one of his gods, one of his so-called gods, I would say, He's not praying to another one. Confucianism is really a worship of ancestors. So I think they pray to their ancestors or they ask for favors. And then some people say that Buddhism really isn't, there really isn't a god. But there is this force, and that's what you're trying to come close to that. You're trying to be absorbed into that. And then you have the God of the Bible, the God of the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, God takes on human form in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, Moses at Mount Sinai, after they came out of Egypt, God brought them out of Egypt, and then he met Moses on the top of Mount Sinai, and there he gave him the Ten Commandments. Well, the first three commandments, here's the first three. They all have to do with God, the one true God. So he says, I am the one who brought you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make any kind of graven images, which are idols. Don't design anything and shape it and call it God. And then don't use the name of the Lord your God in vain. So the first three have to do with the fact that, and this is what is said in the synagogue every week. Every week, the Shema Israel. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And that here's what that means. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, the interesting thing there is the one is a plural one, which is really just a reference to what would later on be identified as the Trinity of God, that God is one in essence, but three in persons. But when Jesus instructs the disciples, when he's on the Sermon on the Mount, which, you know, we're going to be teaching soon, he says, when you pray, this is what you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy should be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then there's a whole list of kind of requests that follow that. And that prayer is to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Old Testament. And then you get into the New Testament, and you're introduced to the Messiah, who is Jesus. And when we pray as Christians, we often at the end will say, in Jesus' name. That's not some like magic incantation that makes sure that prayer makes it to heaven. That's saying, I want to be so much in the will of God that everything I've asked for in this prayer, I want it to be what Jesus wants for me. So when you use a person's name, especially the name of God, you're talking about their very character. So last of all, I would say, and I'm giving you a long answer here, but the last thing I would say is, in reality, Dean, I believe that the Bible teaches that you are either praying to the one true God, right? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that Jesus showed us and told us all about when he came, and that he himself is God along with the Father and the Spirit. So either you're praying to the one true God of the Bible, or you're praying to the devil. I think, you know, this is probably hard for people to understand, but all the religions in the world have been created by the evil one. One of the things that the evil one does really well is he's really good at organizing people who don't know God. He's really good at organizing sinners. And he creates systems and philosophies and religions. He creates all kinds of things because he knows that people have a hunger to worship something, and that they're looking for something in their life, something outside of themselves in their life. So in the Old Testament, the Canaanites, which they inhabited the land of Israel that the Israelites came to, and it became the promised land, it became the nation of Israel. But they had all kinds of gods. They had one god, Baal, and they literally would sacrifice their children to that god. So all I would say is reality, the devil is very good at creating what the Bible calls doctrines of demons. And that's just another phrase for religion. He's very good. There's 1,000 false religions, but there's only one true religion, and there's only one true God.
So, John, if I were to ask you, what separates the God of the Bible? And so if someone's listening right now and they're searching, and maybe they've gone into different religions and they've kind of read some things on the internet, what would be the separation between the God of the Bible and all these other gods?
Okay, so just remember, from the very start, there was only monotheism. So mono means one, and theism means God. So you're introduced to the God of the Bible in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the first thing you find out about the one true God is that he has created everything. He knows everything. He can be everywhere at once, and he's all-powerful, and he is sovereign. Like, nothing can stand against the one true God. Here's the other thing I think that is amazing. He really wants everyone to know about him. The famous verse, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." So here's what that is saying. You want to know how much God loved you? He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, who we know is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So here's one of the things that sets God really, besides his all-powerful nature, besides his omniscient, all-knowing nature, his omnipresence, his ability to be present everywhere, that no one can escape the notice of God. Here's the other thing, and this would be really strange to a lot of religions. One of the shocking things when they started taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, they discovered that most people live in fear of their God. And if you describe a God who is loving, they find that very strange. But we have a God who loves us so much that he gave us Jesus. And he allowed Jesus to take on all of our failure, all of our challenges, all of our sin, and pay the price in full for us. That's how much he loves us, because he wants to spend eternity with us.
Mm-hmm. So, John, am I being too basic here when I say that Jesus is the only God that conquered death?
He's the only human being that conquered death. Yes. I mean, God always conquered. You know, God's in charge of death, right?
So what I was saying is
he's the only human being.
Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Right. So the reason he became a human being was actually to live a perfect sinless life and then to die a sacrificial death so that all of our sins could be paid for. And then the proof of the pudding is that he rose from the dead. So the Bible teaches that the resurrection is God's demonstration that the work of Jesus Christ was accepted by him, so that God can be both just and gracious at the same time.
I got it. So it would be that God provided the substitutionary sacrifice in Jesus, who in fact conquered death.
Right.
And that's the only account you're going to get of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not.
That's not been replicated.
You can go to all the graves of all the so-called religious leaders, and guess what? They're all still in the grave.
Yeah. But Jesus' tomb is
empty. And believe me, if they could have found a body, they would have.
Yeah. So we hope that made you think. We hope that makes you search a little further. If, in fact, you're wondering, is there a God? And the smorgasbords of gods, who is the true God? And where do I want to invest my time, my life, and my sacrifices?
And,
to who?
Yeah, and just remember, Dean, it has to be true. You know, all this has to be true. So you have to believe the promises that God has provided. And you're looking for truth. If you are a truth seeker, you will find the one true God.
And I hate to be a naysayer, John, but now people don't even know if truth exists. You hear people talking about that, and we know it does. But are people looking for, are they seeking truth?
Well, I think that's a Western affliction, you know. And the reason it's a Western affliction is because we have the luxury of thinking that way. Like people in other parts of the world, they can't think that way. like if you said there is no truth to someone out away from Western intellectual thinking, they'd be like, are you crazy?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, that's a luxury of Western intellectualism. You know,
that's a whole other subject that we'd like to talk about.
They can have arguments that are nonsensical simply because they have the luxury of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right, well, we're getting to that time where we try to wrap things up. So if you just stumbled across this podcast and you want more and it's like, hey, I'd like to listen to some other episodes, where can I find that? Well, you can visit AmazingMenMinistries.com, AmazingMenMinistries.com. And up on the top of that navigation bar, choose the series button. You click that series button, and from the drop-down menu, you choose Off the Cuff, and you will see all the episodes that John and I have recorded and will continue to record, and you can check one out, check two out, and listen to it while you're driving, while you're going about your daily activities. You can also find our other series for you to listen to and watch. Our men's series is Core of a Man, which is an 18-part video series with a complimentary book, and that's a great thing for fathers to take their sons through, a group of guys to sit through and listen to. And overall, it's a great men's study. And then John and I are working on our series with Wow Church, which is a weekly sermon series presented by and hosted by and given by our lifelong pastor, John Bell. And it's going to be every week, and we're going to release it on Sundays. So from the privacy of your own home, you can listen to the Word of God as John teaches it verse by verse. And then afterwards, I asked John a couple questions about that sermon, and that's going to be released very soon. We're right now in August 20th in 2022, and we're going to be releasing that within the month. So you're going to be able to go up there and actually watch our series, and we call it Wow Church. And John, why do we name it Wow Church?
So Wow just stands for without walls. So we say it's the church without walls, or without walls church. And because it's digital, we're gonna do it. We're gonna bring it into your family room or your living room. I have a friend who actually watched. I sent some samples out, and he used his phone to watch it. So any way that you can get to the Facebook page or you can get to the website, you'll be able to watch it.
And it'll be up there, and it'll stay up there too. So this is going to be a wealth of knowledge as we continue to create more content and put it in there. And it is always absolutely free. So on behalf of John Bell, our lifelong pastor, I'm Dean Vitale, saying thanks for listening. We look forward to joining you next time.